Reveals the gopis' garments, and today's verse is number 18.
Bhagavan ahata vikshyam shuddha bhava prasadita skande nidhaya vasvamsi प्रीतः प्रोवाच सस्मितम् भगवान् आहता वीक्ष्य शुद्धभावप्रसादितः स्कन्दे निधाय वासांसि प्रीतः प्रोवाच सस्मितम् भगवान् आहता वीक्ष्य शुद्धभावप्रसादितः स्कन्धे निधाय वासांसि प्रीतः प्रोवाच सस्मितम्
सस्मितम् माताजी Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Ahata, struck, Vikshya, seeing, Shuddha, pure, Bhava, by their loving affection, Prasaditah, satisfied, Skande, upon his shoulder, Nidhaya, placing, Vasamsi, their garments, Pritaha, lovingly, Provacha, spoke, Sasmitam, while smiling. Translation and purport. Translation. When the Supreme Lord saw how the gopis were struck with embarrassment, he was satisfied by their pure loving affection. Putting their clothes on his shoulder, the Lord smiled and spoke to them with affection. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments. Actually here the purports are given by disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and in this particular case they are quoting a comment which has been made elsewhere by Prabhupada for the same verse. The gopis' simple presentation was so pure that Lord Krishna immediately became pleased with them. All the unmarried gopis who prayed to Katyayani to have Krishna as their husband were thus satisfied. A woman cannot be naked before any male except her husband. The unmarried gopis desired Krishna as their husband, and he fulfilled their desire in this way. For aristocratic girls like the gopis, standing naked before a young boy was worse than death. And yet they decided to give up everything for the pleasure of Lord Krishna. He wanted to see the power of their love for him, and he was completely satisfied by their unalloyed devotion.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham Namavom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschatya Deshadarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna.
So today we'll be discussing this 18th verse of this 22nd chapter of the 10th canto. Krishna steals the gopis' garments. And before I begin, I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I may be able to say something in this respect. Actually, picking up from the purport, there is this statement of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada comments, "The gopis' simple presentation was so pure that Lord Krishna immediately became pleased with them." So, we have this word simple presentation. This is actually giving us a clue of what is actually pleasing Lord Krishna. That if we get by the mercy of the acharyas, because the purports, this is the importance of the purports. The acharyas, the seers are able to dive very deep and bring out the hidden meaning, just like people dive into the ocean to get the pearls. So they are able to get out the hidden meaning. So that is the great advantage of having these purports of great acharyas. So we get this clue that it is simplicity which is very appealing to Lord Krishna. And in this particular act that we are going through now, we find that the gopis are coming out with flying colors because of their simple presentation. This is as far as the gopis are concerned. But as far as Krishna's activities are concerned, there are many who are deriding his behavior. They say it is an act of immorality on the part of Krishna. Therefore, there is a word to describe these kind of pastimes, and that word is esoteric. The meaning of the word esoteric is something which is understood only by a few who have special information on the subject. That is the meaning of this word esoteric. So, this is an esoteric pastime. So therefore, to understand this pastime, one needs to be equipped with that information which will make it relevant and meaningful. Otherwise, it will be only confusion. So there are two angles from which we can understand this verse today. One is, on the part of the gopis, it is their simplicity. And the second is, on the part of Krishna, what is his role in it? Is it immoral? Is it unethical? No. Cannot be, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no question of any darkness in the sun. Darkness is possible only when you turn away from the sun. So no negativity or negative qualities are ever possible in the sun, who is a personification of all positivity. Then, how do we understand Krishna's behavior? We have to know his unique position. Unique means one and only one of its kind. That is the meaning of the word unique. Nothing else similar to that. That is unique. So Krishna has a unique position. And what is it? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he holds a position entirely different from anybody or everybody else you can ever imagine or ever there in the creation. So we have to understand his position. Then we can understand his pastimes and relish it and learn from it. So what is this simplicity of the gopis? In fact, that is going to be the subject matter of today's discussion. The proper understanding of the term simplicity. And with this regard, there was a beautiful lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj in the Pune Yatra. So, it completely analyzes the meaning of the word simplicity in a very nice way, giving a practical application to simplicity, especially for the sadhakas, those who are struggling on the path of Krishna consciousness. So the first qualification of a Vaishnava, explains Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is Saralata. Saralata is the word for simplicity in Sanskrit. And the first meaning that we have for the word simplicity is straightforward. Straightforward without any duplicity. That means to be the same externally and internally. Not put up a facade or to pretend to be what one is not. Unfortunately, that is the meaning of being civilized in today's society. To put up a pretense, to have something within the heart, but to make a false show outside. Unfortunately, even children get trained in this right from their childhood. So then to understand this, we can understand this with some few examples and stories. Of course, we have all heard these stories before, but since it is relevant to the point of discussion, it will be nice to discuss it again. So this story is regarding Gautam Rishi. Gautam Rishi was a spiritual master and he was teaching. So many used to come to him to get spiritual knowledge and education. So a boy walked in and he said, I want to be your disciple. So he said, I only teach Brahmanas. What is your caste? So the boy said, actually I do not know what is my caste. I will go and ask my mother and I'll come back. So he went, he goes and he's asking his mother. And his mother is telling, oh my boy, you want to know what is your caste. But unfortunately, I am a maid servant. In other words, she says, I am a prostitute. But of course she cannot tell this to her son directly. So she tells that I am only a maid servant. And I have associated with many men. So, I actually do not know who is your father. So when I do not know who is your father, how can I tell you what is your caste? So the boy goes back to Gautam Rishi and he repeats whatever his mother has told him verbatim. On hearing this, Gautam Rishi immediately concludes, my boy, you are a Brahmana. Because you are very straightforward. You are not trying to hide any information so that it will work out to your advantage. You are open and clean. This is the quality of a Brahmana, to speak the truth even to one's enemy. You are truthful and therefore you are a Brahmana. And this way Gautam Rishi concludes and accepts the boy for his Gurukul. Then we have another example from the Chaitanya Leela. This is of Damodar Pandit. He was actually a personification of simplicity, but in a different way. He had a different flavor of his simplicity. So what happened was, one young boy was regularly coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and would sit and listen from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Damodar Pandit observed this boy. And one day he called up and chastised the boy and told him, you are not supposed to be coming here. Don't come here anymore. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wondering, why is Damodar Pandit stopping this boy from coming? And then he walked up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him, please do not entertain this boy. You are actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I know there is no trace of material desire within you, but worldly people will not understand this. Why? Because this boy's mother is a widow. She is young and she is beautiful. And people will misunderstand you and think that this boy is regularly coming to you, so you must be having some connection with his mother. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not offended, but he became greatly ecstatic and he said, oh Damodar Pandit, you are the right person who can protect my mother in my absence. You go to Bengal and protect my mother and all the devotees over there. Only you are qualified to do that. And then when Damodar Pandit came back from Bengal, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, how is Mother Sachi? And Damodar Pandit, he chastised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, what do you mean, how is Mother Sachi? She is your mother. She is the mother of the universe. All the qualities you have has come to you from her. Whatever devotion you have is because of her. And you are asking, how is Mother Sachi? Again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became ecstatic. Why? Of course, Damodar Pandit was not only straightforward, he was rudely straightforward. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the super soul residing in the heart of every living entity. So he understood that in his heart there is no ego, there is no envy. And therefore he appreciated this particular conversation that Damodar Pandit had with him. Coming to this topic of ego and envy, remember once, recall a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, and where he very nicely brought out this point. He says, when devotees dress the deity on the altar, actually one should dress the deity in a very simple way. Dress the deity in such a simple way that the beauty of the deity is brought out. And people are able to appreciate the beauty of the deity. It is just like telling that when somebody is singing in kirtan, the accompaniments should not be so loud as to overshadow the kirtan. The accompaniments should actually follow the kirtan. So in the same mood, Radhanath Maharaj explained that dressing should be simple so as to bring out the inherent beauty of the deities. And then he said one beautiful statement which was very, very significant. He said that if one is dressing the deities thinking that, just see now how I am going to dress the deities. Of course, it doesn't mean that one should not use one's art and talent in dressing the deities. But if one has this feeling that just see, when everybody is going to look at the dressing and they are going to ask, who dressed the deity? If with that mentality one is dressing the deity, then you are not dressing the deity, but you are dressing your false ego. That's a very significant statement he made. So therefore, this is how we understand simplicity. Simplicity means no ego, no envy in the heart. So this is one understanding, being straightforward without ego and envy. The second understanding of simplicity is simply accept the words of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. That is the second understanding of simplicity. Without any complexity. So in this regard also, there is an incident which Radhanath Maharaj describes. He once said that he had been to a Mahasatsang program in Borivali. There was a big field and a huge arrangement was made. And there was a crowd of almost 3,000 people. But when Maharaj observed the crowd, he found that 2,950 were women and only 50 were men. So he was wondering what happened to all the men. And the answer was, there was an Indo-Pak cricket final match on that particular day. So they all had gone to watch the television. So he remarked that women by nature are simple in heart. So irrespective of the cricket match, they came for the satsang. And as the program continued and the program went on, after some time there was sound of crackers bursting. India had won the match and all the men came. Of course, this aspect has also been brought out in the Brahman Patnis. The Brahman Patnis immediately, with their simple heart, they offered all the bhoga that was made for the yajna to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna when he came in person, when he sent his boys in person. But the brahmanas, who were so complicated with all the ritualistic ceremonies, they failed to understand the purport of the Vedas or the purport of the doing the yajna, that they stuck to the ritualism and overlooked the real spiritualism. Then of course, Prabhupada quotes this very verse which we are doing today to explain the meaning of simplicity. And he cites the example of the gopis who with their very simple mentality just accepted the words of Krishna. So, and they just followed his instructions. Whatever he told them, irrespective of what the consequences would be, they just discharged. So this is the definition of simplicity, to accept the words of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra without any complexity. Then of course, Prabhupada himself is an example of this simplicity. He had simple faith in Krishna and his spiritual master, and simple faith in the Shastras. On the strength of that simple faith, he was able to smash the scientists, the Mayavadis and the materialists in his travel round the world and established Krishna consciousness in a very powerful way. Even he challenged the man's landing on the moon at a time when it would be scandalous to speak anything against it. But he was very blatant and open about it. And he said, this is nonsense. He said, as per the Shastras, man can never go to the moon in this self-same body. So he was very clear. And when people said, Prabhupada, how is it you have been achieving so much, doing all alone? He said, I am never alone. My spiritual master is always with me. This was his simple faith in his spiritual master. So to execute the order of his spiritual master at the age of 70, without any money in his pocket, and with a very bad health condition, he suffered 3 heart attacks. He went round the world, not caring for the consequences. And one more definition of simplicity, 3rd definition, is to accept what Krishna provides and not hanker for anything more. Simply to accept what is given by the will of Krishna in one's life and not to hanker for anything more. This is the 3rd understanding of simplicity. And for this again, there are a few illustrations and nice examples from the Shastra, from the Chaitanya Leela. The first is that of Sridhar Kulavich, which is a very classic example. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Nimai Pandit, used to go and harass Sridhar Kulavich, who was a poor man selling banana leaves. Now you can understand, in a place like Navadvip, which is rich in vegetation, where every house has banana plants in its backyard, who would ever go to buy banana leaves? So what was the marketability of this banana leaf? What was the demand for it? So hardly anybody would buy. And even if they would buy, what price would they pay? But Sridhar Kulavicha, very dutifully, was selling these banana leaves. And he was getting a pittance for it. And whatever little amount he was getting, half the amount he would use for the worship of Mother Ganga, and the other half he would keep for his sustenance. And in this condition, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Nimai would come and argue, oh, you are a thief, you are looting, you are charging so much. And he would harass him, and he would pull the banana leaf from his hand, and he would say, I am not going to pay you anything, I am going to take it away free. And sometimes he would say, what worshipping Mother Ganga? Ganga is coming from my feet. And at that time, Kulavich, Sridhar, would close his ears and shout, Vishnu, 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 and says, you are committing blasphemy. So this way, there would be loving pastimes and exchanges between the Lord and his devotee. But of course, he had an unnatural attraction for this Nimai, for this young boy. And always, he would supply him all the leaves that he wanted, despite all the arguments. So this was the loving exchange he used to enjoy. So one day, Nimai, in his argument, told him, Kulavich, Sridhar, what do you get by worshipping Krishna? What do you get by worshipping Vishnu? Look at all the other people who are worshippers of Durga. They are living in opulence. And look at you, with torn clothes and a hut full of holes. Look at your condition. You don't even have a vessel at home. You just have a broken steel pot. And the reply of Sridhar Kulavich was, my lord, there is a king in the palace and there is a tree which lives in the garden of his palace facing the king. But as far as I can see, The life of the king and the life of the bird living on the tree is the same. Life treats both of them in the same way. They all have to go through birth, old age, disease and death. So these are all externals. Why do you trap me in this kind of arguments? So he was very simple, straightforward. And he was not willing to change his lifestyle. And then I would like to discuss one story which is very significant to explain this point. That is, simplicity means to accept what Krishna provides and not hanker for anything more. And we have this another classic example of the Sudama Brahman in Krishna Leela. So, yes. So we have Shukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj in conversation, and Shukadev Goswami is prodding Parikshit Maharaj. No. Parikshit Maharaj is prodding Shukadev Goswami and he says, please describe the glories of the devotees of the Lord. And in response, he is now narrating the story of Sudama. So Sudama was Krishna's Brahmana friend. He was a householder and he maintained himself by whatever came of its own without endeavoring to accumulate any money. This is given in the Bhagavatam itself. This is the description of Sudama's nature. So that is why I selected this story. I said this would be a very good example. He was peaceful and self-controlled. He was emaciated. And so was his wife. And he was very poorly dressed. So once Sudama's wife told him, more out of concern for him and his health, that you should go and meet your friend Krishna, who is the Supreme Lord and who is the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, and he will surely help you to alleviate your poverty. Sudama had no desire to ask for any material benefit, but he welcomed the opportunity to see Krishna as the greatest achievement of his life. Since they were very poor, and it is a normal practice that when you go to see somebody, you carry some gift. So, she borrowed some flat rice from the neighbors, packed it in a torn piece of cloth and gave it to her husband. And completely absorbed in Krishna's thoughts, Sudama reached Dwarka and entered Krishna's palace. He was ecstatic upon entering the palace. Krishna was seated on Rukmini's bed. On seeing his friend of childhood days, he eagerly came forward and embraced Sudama. He felt great joy touching the body of his friend and he shed tears of love. He washed his feet, sprinkled water on his head, offered him fruits, sandalwood pulp mixed with agru and saffron, and welcomed him with sweet words. Actually, Krishna was demonstrating how to welcome a Brahmana, no matter who you are. And Rukmini was fanning Sudama with a chamara. And those who were standing around were all astonished. Because Krishna was gorgeously dressed, he was an emperor. And here was Sudama, who was very poorly clad, emaciated, and, you know, you just can't relate the two of them in one scene. And here was Krishna worshipping Sudama, literally worshipping. So this was an astonishment for the maidservants, for the courtiers and for so many others and all around. And then he started talking. Do you remember our Gurukul days? How we used to enjoy? And one day we went to fetch firewood on the instructions of the Guru, and we got lost and it was raining and we were caught, and the whole night we spent in that rain. And the next day the Guru came looking for us, and then with great love he embraced us and took us back to the ashram. He blessed us. So, and then Krishna looked at Sudama and he thought, what has Sudama come for? And being the super soul, he knows everybody's heart. And he understood that Sudama has come. He is in great poverty. But he is such a simple-hearted Brahmana that he would not open his mouth and ask for any material benefits. He did not want his pure relationship with the Lord to be contaminated with any material request. So Krishna says, Brahmane me bhavata grihat anvapye upahartam bhaktai premna bhuri eva me bhavet bhuri apya abhakto prahar abhakto prahart upahartam name toshya kalpate. He says, I regard as great even the smallest gift offered by me, by my devotees in pure love, but even great offerings presented by non-devotees do not please me. He thought, my friend has never worshipped me with a desire for material wealth. Therefore, I will give him more than what Indra has. And thinking like this, Krishna snatched the flat rice that Sudama was hiding out of shame. He said, this opulent personality, how can I offer him this flat rice wrapped in a torn garment? But Krishna snatched it from him and he took a handful and he ate it. And when he was about to eat the second handful, Rukmini stopped him. And she said, my lord, this is enough for not only him, for his entire family, but even for his coming generations. And Sudama, very pleased with the Lord's reception, with his love and affection, he was absolutely not taking anything from the Lord. He did not ask, and apparently the Lord had not given him anything. And completely satisfied he was at his heart, Sudama. And he was thinking that my Lord embraced me. I am worthless. He worshipped me. Only out of compassion to save me from pride and fall down, the Lord has not given me anything. Actually, Sudama was grateful. But when he returned home, he found that his house had turned into a palace, his wife had turned beautiful, he himself had turned young and full of energy, his body was now very beautiful, and his garments were splendid, and even so, all his children. So it was a complete transformation. For the small amount of flat rice, he was given so much. His love for Krishna increased, and he ever remained humble and happy. This is the greatness of a person with a simple heart. Even when he is rewarded by the Lord, he does not lose his balance and he maintains his gratitude for the Lord. So this way we see the Lord is actually Bhavagrahi. And in this description in the Bhagavatam, in the very next verse, Krishna actually speaks these words which is already spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. When he is snatching and taking away the flat rice, what does Krishna tell Sudama? He says, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahartam ashnami prayatatmana. I was surprised to see the same verse of Bhagavad Gita is repeated in the Bhagavatam and spoken by Krishna in person. So Krishna is Bhavagrahi. He is not impressed by riches or a big show of what one is offering, or he does not even want anything big. All he wants is the simple-hearted offering coming from the heart. So, actually, So we have these three understanding of the word simplicity. Now, so we have dealt with one aspect of this verse, that is the simplicity of the gopis and the three aspects of simplicity. And now let us see what is Krishna's unique position. So while reading the book Krishna, the chapter Stealing the Garments of the Unmarried Gopis, actually the punch line comes in the last three paragraphs. What you find is, first, in the last of the three paragraphs of this chapter, in the first paragraph, Krishna glorifies the trees of Vrindavan. Krishna enacts the pastimes of stealing the garments of the gopis. Then he takes his friends and goes and sits in the groves of Vrindavan among the trees. And there he is glorifying the trees. He says, they are living entities that are an example of noble life. They are always giving. They give their leaves, their fruits, their flowers, their shade, their roots, their bark, their flavor extracts, everything they are giving. So a noble person sacrifices his mind, body and words for the welfare of others. So he is glorifying the trees. It is interesting to note that the trees are neither male nor female. He touched the trees and their leaves. That is, he bestowed his mercy upon the trees. He was so pleased with them for this quality of theirs. And then he passed the rest of the morning, in the subsequent paragraph this is explained, he passed the last paragraph, that he passed the rest of the morning with the boys, not with the girls. And this way, in the same chapter we find Krishna is first enacting the pastimes of stealing the garments of the gopis. Then he is glorifying the trees. The trees are neither male nor female. And lastly, he is spending the rest of the day with the boys who are his male friends. That means, what do we understand from this? This is how we have to understand Krishna's unique position. In this material world, we have either a male body or a female body. And there are a few who are unfortunately in between. We call them as transgender. But then, we are actually caught up in this duality of male and female, good and bad. This is the meaning of material existence. But Krishna is in a transcendental position. So he is, and Chaitanya Charan Prabhu explained it very nicely, Krishna is not only transcendental, he is translogic and he is transmorality. We are subject to morality, but Krishna is not caught between morality and immorality, but he is above morality. So he is transmorality. That is how we have to understand Krishna's unique position. We cannot analyze him with the yardstick of morality. We cannot understand Krishna with logic, but we have to understand him with transcendental vision. That is his quality, that is his greatness. And what is Krishna doing? He is reciprocating all the time. He is reciprocating with the gopis, because the gopis prayed to Katyayani for Krishna as their husband. And here it is given the way in which he did it. According to the Vedic Shastras, a woman cannot be naked in front of any man other than her husband. So he brings about the situation whereby the gopis come naked in front of him, and thereby they become his wives because Krishna sees him. So he is accepting them as their husband. No, he is accepting them as his wife, and he becomes their husband, and therefore he fulfills their desire without even touching them. And what is the greatness of Krishna's this act? That the gopis are completely satisfied. That is the best part. In this world, it is very difficult to be satisfied no matter what one does. Reciprocation is not possible for an ordinary human being in full measure as Krishna can do. That is Krishna's special quality. So Krishna is always reciprocating with the desire of the living entities, be it male, female or anything else. That is how we should understand Krishna. And in this pastimes also, he is reciprocating with his devotees like Sridhar Kolavecha, like Sudama, and he derives so much of pleasure in that reciprocation. And he imparts pleasure to his devotees, and at the same time he gives them complete satisfaction. So the special advantage of associating with Krishna is, one gets purified and one is completely satisfied. So what do we understand from this? Anyone who comes in contact with Krishna gets purified and he is completely satisfied. So the lesson for the living entities is, just transfer your attachment for the things of this world to Krishna, you will be fully satisfied and will get purified. You will exit the cycle of birth and death and attain to the everlasting happiness not found in this world. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Hare Krishna.